Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfs in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. You should send your questions about cleaning, or anything else really, to joliecare@gmail.com. With me is my co-host in residency, John Taylor. Hey, John.
Hello.
How's your toy?
It's cool. It's this little... It had a Kinder Egg, and there's a little, like, plasticky fidget spinner thing in it, and so I'm just enthralled.
With some sort of otter and anteater engaged in
some kind of
deviant sexual acts.
Okay, let's not go that far. It's some kind of sticker-based animal guessing game that you attach to the fidget spinner.
You have to do that while we're recording. Maybe while I'm answering one of the questions, you can decorate your fidget spinner.
Oh, no, that's too much work. That's too much work.
You guys, we have all of this Easter candy because I put a call out on Twitter for pancakes and syrup-flavored peeps. And
for some reason.
And they came because maple is the best flavor in all of the lands and all of the seas.
Are you secretly Canadian?
No.
Openly Canadian?
I'm from New England, John.
So you're secretly Canadian?
Well, they have the maple in the Vermont. You know, that's a thing.
Yeah. Okay, but you're not like Stephen King. Well, he's from Maine.
He's from Maine. See? New England.
Okay, so
see?
You're not insert famous Vermonter here.
No, I'm a famous Bostonian.
There you go.
Anyway, I was really excited about these pancakes and syrups. Peeps, my editor at the New York Times told me about them. I put a call out on Twitter because they're a Kroger exclusive, and we don't have Kroger in our neck of the woods.
Nope.
And I am now drowning in pancakes and syrup peeps. So over in the bonus episode, I'm not going to eat them in the main episode because that would be chewy and annoying for the listeners. So I'm not going to do that to you guys because I love you. But over in the bonus episode, we will try these. And the royal we, John.
I was gonna say.
Just me. John objects. Do you object to? I know you object to peeps generally.
I just object to.
Is
I like
the flavor that's freaking you out.
I like a little bit. I like sugary things, but that is such a concentrated blast of sugar. It's like a fire hose of sucrose.
Mm.
I do appreciate though that you are trying to entice people to listen or to. Sign up to get the bonus episode so they can hear you chew.
Yes. Come for the chewing and stay for the stories about Fisher barfing up rice because we have to talk about that too.
We have to talk about my dog vomiting.
I gotta.
He didn't throw up rice. He threw up his regular food. And then we gave him rice because since he threw up his dinner.
We'll get into it in the bonus episode. You guys, really, the bonus episodes are where it's at. Chewing and vomit. So before we get into today's episode, we do want to remind you that we offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to our premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite our show and hear us chew by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to help support us. I should be able to say that by now.
Yeah, I thought you would have it like memorized.
Or
tattooed somewhere on yourself, like the dude in Memento.
You know what's weird is that I actually, like, I have to read the intro every single time off of a script. Like, I do not have it memorized. You would think, not only do I say it every week, I listen to it back every week when I do the edits. But, no.
There's room for more important things in your brain.
Indeed. You know what's more important?
I'm going to say vacuums because that feels like a very obvious prompt.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, you guys. It is April, which means we are in the throes of Wash What Happens, the annual spring cleaning extravaganza we do here on Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. In today's episode, we are going to do a deep dive into deep cleaning the floors, which is a subject that is near and dear to John's heart. I think, actually, we today are going to have cause to have you talk about Windex.
Oh, finally.
We may not. I think that we're going to end up going pretty long on vacuum stuff. And so we're going to see if we get into any of the, like, hardwood stuff beyond vacuuming. We may have to just save that for another episode, but I think we'll be able to get it in there a little bit.
Phrasing.
We also have a very exciting toy in the studio, in addition to John's Kinder fidget spinner.
I thought you were just saying in addition to me.
and John is also a very fun toy. We have the Dyson mattress vac that I talked about, I think it was last week in the bonus episode when Linz was here.
Yes, I think so.
That I mentioned this thing to you guys. So you can hear me like rustling around because I'm taking it out. I brought it in because I'm going to hand it off to John. Well, first of all, because I vacuumed the upholstered chairs. This canister was empty when I started, and John can like give you
goodness
a little
God
description of what's in there now that I pulled out of two chairs.
It looks
at the
Acast like
office.
The surface of the moon.
It's pretty gnarly.
Oof.
Everyone was God a little freaked out when they saw what came out of the chairs.
This was here. The chairs here.
Yeah, this was the chairs here.
Well, I'm never sitting down in those chairs again.
Well, you can sit on them now. They're clean. They do still have stains on them, so we're thinking about maybe getting an upholstery cleaner so that I can see what like kind of dirty cleaning solution we suck out of that, out of those chairs, because I bet it's gonna be really, really gross. Anyway, I brought the mattress back to do those chairs, but also to hand off to you so that you can do your upholstered furniture and see how much fissure you get out.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Right.
Thank you.
I figured that would be fun. And there are all kinds of like attachments and all this stuff. I have to say that the box says like in big letters at the top, powerful suction to remove allergens from your mattress. And like I have been laughing like a schoolboy all day over powerful suction. I'm gonna make
it really doesn't take a lot, does it?
No, I'm a very, very simple creature, John. anyway, it is quite powerful. It's fun.
I can attest because we have a you know this, we have a Dyson.
I thought that people might want to hear it.
Yes, I too thought they might want to hear. Because this is a podcast for people who sit there and think to themselves, you know what I need right now is just the sound of a vacuum at full tilt in my ears.
It's also very attractive.
It is. Well, you know this, that we have, Lindsay and I have a Dyson,
you have the stick vac.
The stick vac,
yeah. That's the same one that I have.
Which is a life-saving tool in a household with pets and with people with long hair because it collects everything and there are never any tangles. The thing is easy to empty. You can run it. And in a, like we live in an apartment that's, you know, it's a one bedroom. It's a decent size, but it's, you know, by no means huge. You can clean the entire apartment on one charge and not have to, you know, go back for more, which is great.
Yeah.
It's got the little attachments for stuff. So
use the attachments, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We use them all.
We're going to definitely talk about that today, which is good. And I actually like, you know, I kind of picked this episode on purpose, or this topic for this episode on purpose, because I knew that you have that same Dyson I have, and so we can talk about that. I also know you just got a robot. We're going to talk a lot about robot vacuums today.
Oh, that's good, because I... Because
also I know you kind of had a...
Well, the issue with the robot was something, it just seems like it was malfunctioning, which reminds me I need to return the robot. Because I'm rapidly approaching the date by which I must return it,
okay,
or else
well,
they
we're
going to
make sure you get
card
that done. All right, so let me have you read this first question from Caitlin. This is a big question. It's got a lot of sort of parts to it, so we're basically going to devote the first segment to just this question, and we're going to talk about like vacuum recommendations, best practices for using your vacuum, how to deep clean a vacuum. Someone on Twitter today was like, I am so excited to hear Jolie talk about deep cleaning a vacuum, and I was like, that makes two of us.
Your community of fetishes is
very weird. You're part of it, John. I mean, you keep saying this, but like, you are one of us.
Until I start getting questions directed to me talking about or asking me how much I enjoy whatever cleaning thing. But see, you have a whole shared community and history, and
you're part of it.
I am but a tourist at the moment.
Yeah.
Caitlin writes, "Hi, Jolie.
Hi.
I just discovered your podcast, and I'm working my way through the archives mainly while cleaning." Well, that's
perfect.
Just smart. "I decided that I'm basically a magical cleaning sprite for getting week-old blueberry juice out of a white canvas bag. The pie was upside down inside the bag with white vinegar and boiling water."
All right, I have to say, I left this part. You guys know I usually take the accolades out. Although, as you know, I've been leaving them in because I had such a bad like summer and fall that I was like, I need praise. so I started leaving them in. But I left that in specifically because I want to remind you guys, no purse food. Just say no to purse food. Okay. Continue.
How many people do you get? You know what? I don't
all
want
the
to,
time,
want...
all the time, all the time. Lindsay's my former boss. I got a panicked email. He had spilled kimchi in his like NPR tote bag, and I was like,
"No, throw the thing away.
Throw him away."
That either
the better answer.
It's reassuring and refreshing that you are so incredibly non-judgmental about cleaning habits and offer solutions that work for everyone. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
All that being said, I am not great about keeping up with routine daily/weekly chores, and the absolute worst is vacuuming. I live in a cold place where the city uses grit instead of salt in the winter, so we don't have salt stains, but there is so much in all caps, sand and pebbles just everywhere from November to May, and it's so annoying. Our current vacuum is terrible. It doesn't have very good suction power, and it spits stuff out the back.
It's like, that's the worst vacuum in the world. That's like, God. Surprise, here's your dirt back.
Even worse, when I pick it up off the floor, dirt falls out the bottom. What is this vacuum?
She can't tell us. She's going to tell us.
It's an Electrolux One Go Lithium, and it wasn't expensive. Well, that kind of.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to choose a better vacuum that's also affordable for two young professionals. Have you done a full episode on vacuums? Well, you have now. What kind of specs should someone look for in a good vacuum? If you haven't already covered it, I'd also really appreciate some basic vacuuming techniques. How often should you clean the filter? How to get all the tight spots, etc. Phrasing. Thanks so much for being my cleaning inspiration and for your awesome personality. Best, Kate.
Well, you're very welcome. For my awesome personality. I'm sure many, many people would disagree with that description of me. All right. So we are going to do a big vacuum episode. This question was like the perfect, perfect, perfect question for it. I will say I have done a vacuum episode 100 years ago, way, way, way back in the first iteration of the show. I had Liam McCabe from The Wirecutter on as my guest. Liam McCabe wrote the vacuum guide for the Wirecutter. He is like the vacuum guru. A lot of the information I'm going to give you today about choosing a vacuum comes out of the Wirecutter's guide. And I am going to very, very, very strongly suggest that if you are in the market for a new vacuum cleaner, that before you make any kind of decisions, one, you listen to this episode, and two, go to thewirecutter.com. Put vacuum into the search bar. You are going to pull up a whole host of articles that they've done about vacuums, from guides to specific models, everything from robot vacs to stick vacs to handhelds to they have a huge, huge guide called What Vacuum Should I Buy? That guide, the What Vacuum Should I Buy guide, is incredible. It's basically going to break down for you guys all of the differences in the different styles of vacuums that you can get. It's going to also offer product recommendations in those categories at different price points too. So if you decide that a canister vac is the way for you to go after reading that guide, you can choose their, you know, top canister pick, which is pretty expensive, like a $600 number, or they will have a budget pick in that same category. The same is true for stick vacuums, the same is true for robot vacs, all of that kind of stuff. So it's a really, really great resource. I love the Wirecutter. I have loved them since they started that site. Brian Lamb and I go way back. Now, I think, as you guys know, it's owned by the New York Times. And so that means that because I now write about cleaning for the New York Times, I get to work a lot with the Wirecutter people in terms of popping their recommendations into the work that I do. And it's great. I really, really believe in them. But I also kind of want to, like, disclose the nature of that relationship so that people don't think it's like weird that I'm like pimping out the Wirecutter, but I would pimp out the Wirecutter even if we weren't working together anymore. I just like love it.
So now that you've told everyone where to get all the vacuum and vacuum recommendations,
we're done recording and we can go eat
peeps. You for listening to the vacuum episode.
Let's go eat some peeps. Okay, so when you're thinking about how to pick a vacuum, definitely start with the Wirecutter's which vacuum should I get guide. It's going to help you figure out what style is best for your needs. And when we talk about your needs, everybody's house is, look, vacuums are vacuums. Like, and for the most part,
they all suck.
thank you. Except for the mattress vac, which is powerful suction.
You're really obsessed with it.
I'm so obsessed with it. Powerful suction. Come on. It's me.
Like, it is funny. It is. I will give you that.
So we all have kind of similar issues around what we need to vacuum up, right? It's hair, whether it's human hair or pet hair, we pretty much, I mean, unless you're a bald man who lives alone, you probably are going to have hair issues.
Even if you are bald.
Well, yeah, you have body hair. You could have alopecia.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. There's always going to be, like, you know, dirt and grit and that kind of stuff. But there are differences in terms of some people have a lot more hair they have to deal with, like poor John.
My life is hell.
Your life is hell. But, I mean, you have a beautiful girl and a beautiful dog. So,
both of whom shed.
Like crazy.
Like crazy.
Like crazy. Mm. Lindsay sent me a photo of your Dyson vacuum canister after she had vacuumed up one day worth of Fisher. And it was like there was a whole Fisher inside the canister.
And that's every day. Sometimes that's twice a
day. It was amazing. I loved it. So you know, pets and like, and you know, long hair are issues that people have. Obviously, we have, in this case, our letter writer has a lot of sort of grit and gravel that comes in because of the nature of where she lives and how, what the type of snow melt that's being used. Other things that you want to take into consideration are, do you have a lot of stairs in your house or do you live on a single level? Like John and I both live in a single level. We're apartment dwellers. And so we have a single level. We don't have stairs we have to worry about. Mm. In addition to the pet thing, kids also are another one you want to take into consideration. Like, do you have a lot of Cheerios that you got to vacuum up all the time?
Or Legos.
And then there are the environmental concerns. Like if you live in Georgia, you might have a lot of red clay in your house. Do you not remember the red clay?
No, I was
John?
About to say, why is this coming up again?
Because I'm trying to, I'm trolling you with the red clay.
I'm going to go back to my fidget spinner.
So yeah, I know. You really love that thing. Okay. So one thing to mention for this specific letter writer is that in her case, I actually would say she might do better off with sweeping regularly and using just like a handheld to get up the grit after she swept it into a little pile. The reason that I say that is that she's having a problem. I mean, first of all, look, the vacuum she has is just not a good vacuum. It's not doing its job anymore. It's literally spitting the dirt back out onto her floor.
I like that it's the vacuum. It's almost like the vacuum knows it's so obsolete that it needs to keep creating work so that it can't be gotten rid of.
So she's got to get a new one. But also, even when she does, she may find that for like her specific needs, that sweeping and using a handheld work better for her. But what I would also say is that it sounds like she's not using the right attachments for the debris that's collecting in her home. She's using a bristle brush attachment, and the gravel and all of that sand and all that stuff is just getting stuck into the bristles, and that's part of the reason why it's coming out and getting stuck in the bristles. If she switched to a different attachment, maybe a hose attachment that's unobstructed and a little better for picking up slightly larger things, she might do better with it. So once she goes and gets her new vacuum that's not going to spit stuff back out, she probably will also want to take a look at the attachments that come with it and make sure that she's using the right one. And a lot of that might just actually be even trial and error to see which ones work best. Really, generally speaking, if you find that stuff is getting stuck in an attachment, just try using another one and see what happens. There are a couple of places where you definitely want to be moving away from the bristle type attachments. That's for stuff like glitter, pine needles, and hair. Now, the reason for the hair thing is that hair oftentimes, especially long hair, can wind itself around a roller bar or beater bar if you've got one with those. So if you're noticing that there's hair kind of like constantly building up in one attachment, try using a different attachment because that may just solve the problem.
I do like that you said glitter because it just suggests me perfectly. This is a common problem you have in your household is glitter cleanup.
It is, actually. In my house, yes, because, you know, I'm a glitter girl. But also I mention it because a couple days ago I was on a podcast called The Serpent Pod that you guys should all check out. It's like that was your favorite thing, astrology and magic and witchcraft.
Excellent. Did you talk about Mercury being in retrograde?
We did, actually. Oh, yes, we did. but we talked a lot about cleaning up kind of witchy messes. and John, I'm a witch. You have to be nice. Respect my religion. One of the hosts asked me specifically about glitter because she has like she does a lot of glitter work in her candle rituals. So. But like really, I mean, glitter comes up a lot. Like if you have kids, if you have arts and crafts, if you're Jolie Care, glitter is a thing.
I just want to note the phrases, witchy mess, glitter work, candle ritual. Witchy mess. I mean, witchy mess just in my mind is just the cauldron doth bubble it over too much.
I actually was like thinking after the episode, I was like, I really want to pitch like a column on like Ask a Clean Witch, like cleaning up all kinds of witchy problems.
Too many eyes of newt everywhere.
Yeah. How do I make my eye of newt collection Pinterest worthy?
I keep burning the children I'm cooking for dinner. I guess that's not a clean
issue. Don't do that while I'm taking a sip out of my big gulp.
It's not really a sip if it's a big gulp, isn't it? It's a gulp.
It's actually not even a big gulp. It's just a regular gulp.
It's just a gulp. One gulp, please.
I do. I have to walk because I'm trying to, for health, I'm trying to get the smaller ones. Instead of the big gulp, I'm just getting the gulp. And it's really awkward to walk in every day and be like, can I get a gulp? All right, we're going too far afield. I got to talk about vacuums. Okay, so that little spiel that I just gave you guys about the attachments, those are my best practices. Those are my tips and tricks for being a better vacuumer, is to use your attachments. Your attachments are also going to let you use your machine to do things beyond just getting the main part of the floor clean. Like, it's going to let, attachments are going to let you get into corners. They're going to let you get into windowsills. Ooh, John just lit up.
Lindsay's going to come home
and you're going to be vacuuming all kinds of weird shit.
No, I use the hose attachment for our Dyson on windowsills everywhere. I am still cleaning up pine needles from our Christmas tree, and we threw that out 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Because those things are just...
Pine needles are insidious. And I've done holiday episodes where I talk a lot about pine needle cleanup. So if you need to go back and revisit that. I'm like fishing around in this box because I want to... show you one attachment that I want to make sure you're using, John. Are you using this one often? Okay, good. So this is the crevice attachment.
Well, you actually use that one a lot too for hair because Fisher's hair tends to tumbleweed.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot easier in spots like
in corners.
In corners or under an end table or, you know, because our apartment's got it's a New York apartment, so it has three times as much stuff as it needs.
Yeah, of course.
So there's just areas where the vacuum isn't easy to get into, or we'd have to move furniture around, so it's just easier just, you know, hands and knees, or occasionally just bend over, zip it up.
Exactly. Good.
So, we love that thing.
Good. All right. See, now you guys know why John is here. My
vacuum fetish.
So, that's right.
Wait, no, hold on. That's a real... No, hold on.
That's a real fetish, too.
That's not what I'm talking about.
And also, I've done a fetish episode.
I'm surprised you haven't done more of them.
They're all fetish episodes to some degree. Every single one.
Every episode of this is a rule 34 in the making.
Okay. Let's talk about the basic styles of vacuums that you can find. I have a distinct POV in terms of what I personally like, but that is not going to be the right thing for everybody. So here are your basic styles that you're going to find. The first is the upright, bagged or bagless. These are going to be the best choice for most people. In fact, the bagless upright is actually really going to be the best choice for most people, especially if you have a pet, especially if you have a pet who, like Fisher, is particularly hairy. Mm. The problem with bagged models is that you will have to replace the bags fairly often, and that can become expensive.
Well, so when you say bagged model, you mean like the kind like you see in shows that are set in the 50s and 60s?
Yep.
They still make those?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have to go back to the 50s and 60s to get them?
No, actually you don't. They're not as popular anymore because the bagless are, you know...
They're easier.
Yeah.
I also feel like those bag vacuums probably make a ton of noise.
They do and they don't. I don't think that I don't think it's so much the bag that has to do with the noise. It's the size of the motor, really.
Right. But anyway.
But bagged ones are still out there. There is like a whole thing in that Wirecutter article that I talked about the difference and pros and cons of bags and bagless. But basically, bagless upright is going to be the one that most people are going to want to get. The next popular kind are the canister vacs. Those are the ones that like they kind of look like a dog with like a very long neck that you like pull along.
I don't know how you walk your dog.
Like the neck is like the leash, maybe. I don't know, John.
Are you talking about those weirdo looking ones that's just like a tube on wheels that you just drag about?
Yeah, it looks
also
like a dog
from like
the
50s and 60s.
Yeah, it looks like a dog with a really long neck.
It's like a brontosaurus.
Okay, or a brontosaurus.
So what kind of dog has a neck that long?
I didn't say like a specific dog. I said a dog with a really long neck.
What kind of weirdo shelters have you been to?
Oh no, leave me alone, John. Be nice to
you.
Jolie.
Invited me on this.
Okay. Canisters are actually the best vacuums, but they also tend to be the most expensive. I will say that I also personally find them to be cumbersome to use. I find that dragging the dog with the long neck behind me. Well, now I'm going to keep saying it.
I know. I don't know why I invited this. Need to keep my thoughts to myself.
Yes, give me the silent treatment. That's excellent co-hosting. Yeah, I find them particularly cumbersome. I think that if you have, especially, I know a lot of people who have stairs like them because you can kind of like pick them up. I find them very difficult to use on stairs, but they are the best in terms of the fact that they are the most powerful. They're definitely the most powerful vacuum that you can get. The next model, and this is the one where, you know, my distinct POV comes in. This is what I have. This is what I love, are the cordless vacs. So I have a cordless stick Dyson. John has the same one. We both love, love, love them.
Mm-hmm.
But we live in smaller homes.
Yep.
We have mostly hardwood.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big drawbacks of the cordless is that they will not get as deep into carpeting.
They're not. We have a, like, the only carpeting slash rug we have in our apartment is a small entryway rug that Fisher's hair has basically turned white.
Yeah.
And no amount of passing over that thing with the Dyson will get the hair out. Yeah. I need to use the crevice attachment and basically just, like, bury it in there to get the hairs out. And even then, I've mostly just given up.
Yeah.
So
I have a similar kind of thing where I only have, like, a really small, like, I don't know, maybe like 4x4 area rug in my little dining nook. And I mean, I vacuum this thing every day with my little Dyson because I see everything. And it's black. So now that I'm blonde, I see like my blonde hair on it all the time. So I vacuum it every day. And I mean, it gets passably clean with that. But today when I had the mattress vac out, I actually used the mattress vac on it and it pulled up like so much, like just like New York grime that the daily vacuuming with the regular Dyson wasn't pulling up.
New York grime is a very specific thing too, because it's just this very gross combination of street refuse and just snow that refuses to melt.
Yeah. That was kind of what it looked like actually. And then I cleaned out the canister for you. So I'm not handing off my own debris, but I'm handing off Acast debris because we did the chairs.
We're just cross germinating here.
That's right. Okay. So the cordless ones, they do clean less well, but they are so easy to use. And to my mind, the most effective vacuum is actually the one that you use. So if getting a cordless that's lightweight is going to make you use it more often than, a canister or upright style that you have to like lug out of the closet and then plug in and then like running it is a pain in the ass and all that shit, and you're not actually going to use the thing, get the vacuum that's less powerful that you're going to use more often.
The thing I like about the cordless too is that if I see a, like, because I vacuum every day, but every now and then tumbleweeds of hair will collect because that's just the nature of it.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't feel like running the vacuum all the way again because most of the place is relatively clean. But if I do see those things, I can just run over, grab my cordless, put on the crevice attachment, go get them. And in 3 seconds, I've cleaned up enough that my massive obsessive compulsive disorder has been satiated. So I will say they're great for that because you can just do things
fast
in the blink of an eye.
Right, exactly.
And it's not over.
It's not a chore. It's just like it's like grabbing a paper towel and wiping up a spill,
which I do constantly.
Right, of course, but that's the point. It makes vacuuming as easy as wiping up a spill with a paper.
It really
towel.
Does, especially because I mean they do charge up pretty fast too.
They do charge fast. They do
so
charge fast.
It's not like you're set waiting there for hours. I think it's usually half an hour to an hour. It's back to full charge.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and the charge on the Dysons I think is 20 less for 20.
I've gotten
minutes.
As,
I've gotten longer.
The nice thing is too, I've gotten it. So usually with the Dyson, when you run it, there's a blue light and a little ring on the back that'll tell you if it's full glow. It's the battery's fully charged. If it starts blinking, that means the battery's running out. There are times when I've run the stick attachment, gotten to the blinking point, switched attachments, and gotten another full 15 to 20 minutes out of it because that just uses less if you're just, you know, only spot cleaning at that
Makes
point.
Makes sense, yeah.
So you can even, in that sense, double your
right.
vacuuming fun. Get twice the suck. Sorry, I had to put it in terms that you would
Thank you.
Appreciate.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Okay, so let's talk about deep cleaning a vacuum. I have to say that this is going to be less comprehensive than maybe most of you guys are going to want it to be, because the way that you clean a vacuum depends very much on the style of vacuum. And I think it would make for kind of a boring episode if I like went through deep cleaning instructions for every single style. So here's what I'm going to say to you guys. Go, if you know what vacuum you have, go Google your vacuum model number and just check out the manufacturer instructions for care and maintenance that are on the website. It's really, really simple to do. It's a smart thing to do also. You don't want to make a mistake with cleaning your vacuum that like voids a warranty.
Or that just ruins it.
Right. But like there are some basic things I can tell you guys that will be fairly universal. So first of all, empty the canister or the bag more often than you think you need to. Now, I will say I am guilty of not emptying my canisters as much as I should, especially with my Roomba, which we're going to talk about in the second segment. Because you guys know I have things to say about that Roomba.
Do you have like a personal feud with a Roomba?
Oh, my Roomba is evil. We're going to get into this.
This will be fun. This will be fun.
So with a Roomba, I am not particularly great because it's also easier with a Dyson. Like you can actually see that the chamber is super full because it's clear. With the Roomba, like I forget how full it gets, and then it like starts mouthing off to me, and it talks back in the middle of the night, and blah, 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 blah. So yeah, generally speaking, with all of your different kinds of vacuum, whether it's a robot vac or a cordless or a canister or an upright, empty it more often than you need. The filter does need to be clean. Again, you should check your specific manufacturer instructions for how to clean your filter. But generally speaking, the filters can be cleaned with just like hot soapy water, like a dish. That's really all it needs. The big thing with the filter is after you've cleaned it, you want it to be fully, 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 fully dry before you put it back into your machine. The other thing you want to take into consideration is that the exterior and the interior of bagless canisters and the uprights, bagless upright canister and cordless sticks.
A little worried that I thought you had a stroke.
Yeah, there. I know. I was like, am I having a stroke? What did I just do?
Tell me if you can smell toast.
I just mashed up all of those words. For all of those, you probably also are going to want to clean the interior. That can be done, honestly, with just a paper towel or a rag with a little bit of all-purpose cleaner, like, you know, your Fantastic, your 409. Not a lot. You don't want to spray cleaner directly into any of the components or parts. You want to put it onto a paper towel or a rag and then wipe clean. This is not a difficult job, but it is quite grimy. So I would suggest a couple of things if you're going to deep clean your vacuum. First of all, if you have an outdoor space that you can work in, go outdoors because there's going to be vacuum dust everywhere. Definitely wear work clothes because you are going to get covered in whatever is coming out of your vacuum. You might want to wear gloves just because it's dirty and it'll like get all under your fingernails and muck up your manicure. And nobody wants that. If you are going to work indoors, I would say just disassemble the whole thing, sit down on your floor, get comfortable, and clean away. It's one of those just like weird jobs. Like I really find like just getting right down on my floor, disassembling all the parts, wiping everything down, little all-purpose cleaner, rags, paper towels, whatever, you know.
It sounds like masturbation prep.
John!
Get all these.
I don't know how you prep for masturbation.
Also with industrial cleaner and work clothing.
Mine does not involve getting down on the floor with all-purpose cleaner.
I'm actually surprised it doesn't.
Maybe it should. I don't know. I'll get back to you on that one. I'll do some experimenting. Okay, so that's basically it. Like, it's, you know, it's a very straightforward job. It's messy and grimy and dirty. It's pretty satisfying. And that's mostly what I have to say about deep cleaning a vacuum. Oh, one other thing about deep cleaning the vacuum is that you actually do want to pay some attention to cleaning the attachments, especially those bristles. You know, again, you can just kind of go over, paper towels might get shredded, like just a slightly damp rag. Just kind of going over the bristles a bunch of times is going to clean them up and get all like kind of dust and debris and hair and grime.
Rhyme.
Yeah. It's grimy. I mean, you'll be pretty surprised at how grimy it is. And it's good, you know, the thing is also, it's good to do it because, especially if you use attachments on the floor that you also want to use on your furniture, like you'd be just transferring like dirt onto your upholstery, and you don't really want to be doing that. So on that note, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. John and I will be right back with more about your floor care. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by co-host in residency, John Taylor. We've been talking about spring cleaning with a focus on the floor and...
And vacuums.
Masturbation
and
techniques.
Not technique. Preparation.
Prep. Sorry.
Technique is just friction. It just depends.
Technique is powerful suction.
Yeah. I had the solvent running joke. You have powerful suction.
I'm really very excited about powerful suction. One of my friends was making a joke about James Dyson on Twitter this morning. I was like, the first thing I saw when I woke up this morning, I'm like, excuse me, can we not make fun of James Dyson?
You know, sully his good name.
Leave James Dyson out of it. James Dyson has powerful suction, my friends. All right. We have to talk about robots. Actually, this is going to be good. Because
okay.
I know you have thoughts.
I do have some thoughts.
And I have thoughts. And, like, you already think I'm completely fucking nuts. You are going to think I am off the fucking wall when you hear about me and my robot vac.
Okay.
So I'm going to have you read this question from Anne.
Anne.
Also, you know, last week I was so good about getting all questions from guys. This week I got all questions from women.
Gender imbalance strikes again.
Well, no, I was actually kind of surprised because, like, usually... not to be like crazy gender essentialist about this, but like men like the machines, right? And vacuums are
we do like machines.
Machines, yeah.
Come back to this podcast for more hard hitting analysis, such as vacuums are machines.
Columbia must be so proud of us. It's the two intellectual giants over here.
They're going to take away I almost said my license. I don't have.
They're going to take it away for that.
Now I'm never going to get to turn them down for a commencement speech.
Don't worry. When I go back up in the fall to do my presentation to the first year, I'll bring you with me.
Oh, that'll be fun. They can see just how quickly I am reduced to... Shouldn't you be somewhere for a job? And I'll be like, what job are you talking about?
This is my job.
You know what time you're at graduating?
All right.
Anne asks, hi, Jolie. I am a fan, and I'm trying to binge listen to all your podcasts. While house cleaning, of course. What else? How many episodes would that be?
This is episode 112.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
I don't recommend that, Anne. Thus...
That's a lot of Jolie.
That's a lot. That's a lot of podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Thus, I am wondering if you've ever covered robot vacuums in the podcast. I realize a robot might be antithetical, and... Oh God, I hate that word. To the intentionality and intelligence of your mission. Well, this is a lot of good words here. But they could also... Oh, crap. Your thing fell asleep.
Oh, no. It's not locked. It's just...
Did it? Oh.
You just have to slide.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But they could also be a useful tool. What say you? Thanks for existing, Anne S. Oh, you have some very nice people.
John can't work a tablet, and I can't work a chair.
I know how to use a tablet.
My chair is like running into this like plug on the floor. I couldn't pull up to the mic.
All right. Well, Anne wants to know about.
I have the nicest listeners.
She wants to know about the evil robot vacuums that will be leading the charge against us when Skynet comes online.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. Let me start by telling John and the rest of you about my evil robot vacuum.
I'm gonna get settled in here.
I have a Roomba. It was disclosure time. It was a freebie from iRobot. When I left Deadspin in 2015, my farewell post was about was answering a question from someone who came home to find that their Roomba had vacuumed dog shit all over their house.
God, the future is just horrible. These aren't problems our, like, ancestors had.
No.
Like, granted, they're...
Oh my God, wait, speaking of our ancestors, I was dusting the other morning, and I all of a sudden could hear your voice in my head being like, doo-doo, like the little British chambermaid voice that you did.
That's not a good sign if you're hearing my voice in your head at random moments.
I was like, oh my God, from, like, now until the end of time, I'm not going to be able to dust without hearing John as an English chambermaid.
Again, this is the weirdest fetish podcast.
You're the one who was doing the English chambermaid.
Aware, and
like, you're the one who was doing the role play.
That is true. I can't really. But I will say, our ancestors had to worry about things like dying at 35,
yeah,
but they did not have to worry about the tiny robot vacuum that lived in their house spreading dog shit everywhere.
Right.
So
exactly.
Basically balances,
yeah,
out.
So anyway, so that was my farewell post. Cause if you're leaving Deadspin and you're the cleaning expert,
gotta talk about that shit.
That's the question you go out on. And so the Roomba people actually like loved the column, and they got in touch with me, and they were like, they don't deny this at all. That is actually not an uncommon problem. And when I talk about the pros and cons of robot vacuums, that is one of them. So I get this Roomba, and it's like a super souped up model. It's like the 960. It's way more vacuum than I need in my tiny little house. And they also told me that. But they were like, it's the newest one, and we want to send it to you. And like, it's got all the bells and whistles, and you can like run it via app and blah, 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 blah. So I have this thing. And frankly, it is, you know, in fairness to this Roomba, it is too much vacuum for my space. And my space is, because it's a tiny, weird, kind of like cut up New York apartment, there are a lot of weird little angles and corners and stuff that, you know, a robot vac just isn't really designed to get into nooks and crannies the way that like our little stick Dyson is. So I want to be fair and say all of that. But then let me also tell you about the vacuum itself. The vacuum has a foot fetish. It comes for my toes wherever I am in the apartment. Like, this thing will follow me around. It will go back over places it has vacuumed 6 times just to get to my feet. And I will say, I have very cute feet. I don't blame it, but it's weird.
It's a little weird.
And I would like for it not to come for my feet.
If it's going to do that, it should at least be paying you like 50 or 100 bucks every time. Or whatever the going rate is.
So it got to the point where it was so bad that I would turn the vacuum on. I would like get all ready to go to the gym. I'd put my sneakers on. I'd get my bag ready. I'd put it by the front door. I'd go and get Christine out from under. Christine also lives under a chair. That's where his little dog. Yeah, his name. He's a boy, and his name is Christine. I'm gonna get to that.
You've named your vacuum.
All the vacuums have names.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? The mattress vac doesn't have a name yet. I'm realizing, so we're gonna have to name it at some point. That'll be part of this arc that we do. So Christine's docking station is under a chair. So I would like get all ready, like leave my bag by the front door, run over to Christine, push the on button, and like sprint out the door so that Christine couldn't get to my feet.
Okay, then.
Craziness.
Good.
So because the vacuum and I developed this contentious, slightly sexual relationship, I ended up naming it Christine after the Stephen King novel, because it's like an evil car, and the Roomba is like, you know, I don't drive, so the Roomba is like my vehicle, and so I named it Christine. So the Roomba's name is Christine, and Christine has flair. He has a sticker with his name on it and like a spooky Stephen King font that a friend of mine made for me and sent to me that's like on it, and then it has Christine also has an Acast sticker on him, because against my cars, they're bumper stickers. And then it has a Jalopnik sticker, because I mean, if
it's a car,
it's a car, and I write a cleaning column for a car site, and so anyway, so that's Christine. Okay, let me talk about general robot stuff, like what I think you guys should know. So those are my personal feelings based on my personal experience with this evil robot vacuum.
The one possessed by the spirit of a creepy old businessman.
Yes.
Okay.
But that is not necessarily going to be everybody's experience. So there are a few things to know about it. The first thing that is really great about robots is that they are very easy to run even when you're not in the house. And even if you're not like me, like turning it on and then sprinting out of the house, most of them now are controlled by app. You can literally turn it on. You can be sitting in the office, sitting down at the movies, sitting down for a baseball game, like anything, and you can like run your vacuum. So if you run your robot vacuum 3 to 4 times a week, that might sound like a lot, but it's no effort on your part because you're just hitting a button, maybe even just on your phone, and turning it on and running it. And that's really ideal. I think one of the things about vacuuming is that people just aren't really doing it as often as they should. And I can't tell you exactly how many times to vacuum because I don't know what your situation is. I don't know if you're like John and you have a dog that sheds like a full
dog
every day.
He basically sheds all of his hair and then regrows it at night. It's amazing
that he has hair.
It's like he's a character out of a Spanish magical realism novel. It's like Marquez dog. All his hair falls out, then he regrows it when he thinks about his grandmother.
Fisher has such a rich inner life. So like you might have a super, super hairy dog. You might live in Georgia and have a lot of red clay. John's about to run out of the studio.
The worst thing is because my memory is functionally that of a goldfish. I can't even remember the exact provenance of the whole red clay thing.
Because I was talking about Crud Cutter.
Yeah,
and how they have
is.
the sports stain remover, but they have a separate formula for red clay.
Right.
And I wanted you to go find me a baseball player from Georgia.
Okay, well, if Clint Frazier's on the disabled list right now with a concussion.
So he's got plenty of time that he can come on the show.
Once the Yankees call him up, I will ask him, Cliff, what is your life situation dealing like with red clay? And then he will never speak to me again.
Okay, great. It's going to make for a great story.
All right. Well, yeah. You were saying about life situations and variant levels of filthiness.
Right. So you might have a lot of red clay in your home. You might live in an old apartment or house that doesn't have particularly well-sealed windows and doors, which means you have a lot more dust and grime than someone who lives in a brand new apartment in New York City that's completely sealed and new construction and all that. So I can't really tell you how often. And also, you might have like 7 people in your house, or you might be like me and it's 1 person and 5 vacuum cleaners. You know, we all live different lives. So I can't tell you how often to vacuum, but I can tell you that you're probably not vacuuming as often as you should be. So try maybe doubling the number of times a week, a month, however often it is that you're vacuuming, and see how that does for you. And then tweet at me and tell me about it. Okay, a couple of things about the robot vacs in terms of the kinds of people it really works for, the people that really like it. This is from the Wirecutter, and I agree with them. They basically say there are sort of three sets of people who really like the robot vacuums. One, people who like gadgets. And that's fine. Like, if you like gadgets and you like machines, like, by all means, like what you like. If you spend a lot of time outside the home, having a robot vac can be very convenient because you can program it or you can control it via a remote app, and that's great. Also, great for people who are extra picky about their floors. Because, again, you can run it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a week. You run it 14 times a week. If you're running your robot vac 14 times a week, I'd like to hear from you.
Who don't you want to hear from at this point?
I want to hear from everybody, actually. I like hearing from people.
I mean, this podcast wouldn't exist without it.
Right. Exactly.
So there you go. Mission statement.
Okay. Here are the drawbacks. One, robot vacs cannot climb stairs just yet. So if you live in a home with a lot of stairs, robot vacs may not be for you.
The day the robots climb the stairs is the day I move to the middle of Montana into a bunker because the end is nigh.
It's like that the robot that can open the door.
Yeah, once that becomes regular, then that's it. We're all done.
Yeah.
Because they're going to turn the suction on us.
The powerful suction.
They're going to powerfully suck us out of existence.
Okay, so that's one big drawback. The second drawback is they need a lot of maintenance. So, you know, we talked about cleaning, vacuums in the first segment. When it comes to robot vacs, you're going to have to clean that thing pretty often. And it is a dirty job. It's not only emptying the canister and keeping the exterior clean, but they have these little, like, sensors that are kind of frond-like. That's what Christine gets up on me with. Christine rotates his little fronds, like, all over my toesies. It's very weird.
That's a little strange.
It's very weird.
But you do have to clean the sensors.
But you have to clean the sensors. A lot of times, hair gets tangled in them. That means you're going to be getting out your little, like, nail scissors and clipping hair away. There is a lot of maintenance involved. One other big thing, and this is, you know, I mean, this is true in a lot of homes, but especially homes that have little kids, is that your floors need to be clear of the kids, first and foremost, but of their stuff. So, you know, if you have, and this is totally normal, but like if you have a dog or if you have a toddler, there are probably toys strewn all over even the tidiest homes. Just because that's the nature of dogs and toddlers. They strew toys.
Our floor is a graveyard of torn up, half-chewed toys and the stuffing that used to be inside of them.
Right. And you're compulsive about picking things up. I know this because I know you. But, like, that is still the way that it is because you have a dog. Like, that's life. Another big one that comes into play with the robot vacs are cords. So, like, if you have a lot of cords, you want to be really careful about getting those wrapped up with cord covers or cord ties and up off the floor because a robot will go for them. I know this because Christine goes for them. I have like a whole system. I have to clean for the maid kind of thing before I run Christine, you know?
See, this is what I ran into with my robot vacuum experience.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you want me to get into.
I do want you to get into it. I'm going to give the last drawback. Okay. And then I want you to tell us about, your experience, because I actually don't really know. I know Fisher just didn't like it, but I know that there's also more to that.
There is more. The story is
okay.
Well, it's so not very deep, but there's a story.
The last drawback is if you have pets, there are sort of two issues. One, there's the dog shit issue that I've already talked about. That is real. That happens. The other thing is that a lot of times dogs and cats, to some extent, but a little bit less so, dogs in particular, are really scared of the robot vacs. And I don't know about you guys, but, like, I don't want you scaring your dogs.
I will note that Fisher does not get scared of much. As far as we can tell, the only things he's scared of are babies, someone knocking on the door. And there was one time when I was walking him down the street and he started barking wildly at a suitcase. And I, to this day, I have no idea why.
He probably had an incident with a suitcase in a past life.
I had to drag him by it because he would not go anywhere near it.
Oh,
so.
Fish!
But I will note that when we...
Not scared of the Dyson.
He's not scared
all.
Of the Dyson. It does not bother him. Yeah. He will move out of its way and occasionally get away from it because, I think, not even so much the noise, I think just because it blows air out of the back, and so random gust of air
suction.
It's not something his tiny brain understands. Yeah. I will note that with the robot vac that we used, that he didn't bark at it, and he wasn't necessarily scared of it, but he certainly stayed away from it with his tail down and just kind of kept trying to get away from it.
Aww.
Which, you know, in an apartment like ours, that it's not huge. There's nowhere really for him to hide because the robot comes for him.
Right.
So should I just get into my robot vacuum?
Yes,
okay.
You should.
So
Before I do that, I want to give one other pro that I found in my own life that the wire cutter didn't go into, but I want to say that this is to me the biggest value of the robot vac, which is that it makes it very easy to vacuum under beds and furniture.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
I will. Should I give the brand of the vacuum I bought, or is that? Okay.
Yeah. No, we can definitely do that. And then before we wrap up, I'm going to give you guys the model numbers of the wire cutter's picks.
I have a Eufy, I've already forgotten what the rest of it is.
Okay.
A Eufy RoboVac something or another.
Okay.
I got it because it was on sale on Amazon.
Yep.
Found that through, I think, Kinja Deals, I think it was. Yeah. Was deeply discounted, so Lindsay and I figured, why not? Because we vacuum at least once a day.
Can I ask how much you spent on it?
Under $200. It was
that's a good deal.
$180,
yeah.
I want to say. Okay. So we figured, why not? Like, we have, you know, we don't have rugs, so that was... Because we knew that rugs are something that those things don't deal with too well sometimes, especially if your rugs are thick.
Mm-hmm.
We just have the hardwood floors. And we figured since we were vacuuming 1-2 times a day, sometimes more than that,
yeah,
it'd be nice to have, especially because the problem we run into is when we wake up in the morning, somehow all the hair got together at night and had a conference and decided they were just going to bundle together and distribute themselves across the floor. So my thinking was, it would sure would be great in the morning if when we're walking fish, we just turn the vacuum on, let it run, and when we come back, the floors are clean.
Right.
Wonderful. We got the vacuum. The sensors did not work.
Okay.
This is a non-Wi-Fi model, so there's no, it can't learn.
Okay.
It can't map the room, it can't learn. All it can go on is the little infrared sensors it has in its front, which did not seem to work. I cleaned them multiple times, but it just kept smacking into stuff.
Okay.
Chair legs, table legs, walls, my leg. I literally spent 5 solid minutes sticking my foot in front of it to see if it would run into it. And every now and then it would just bounce off. And I was like, okay, you're just a dumb robot.
You should come over and meet Christine sometime.
So, and I want to note here that the good people at Eufy were very, very, you know, helpful and nice about the whole thing and said, well, that shouldn't be happening. Just, you know, send it back and we'll refund it. I've yet to send it back, unfortunately. I just have to find a box to do it.
Okay.
But that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
But I will note that my particular issues with the robot vac
are... We can
are...
see if we have boxes here, by the way.
Oh, good.
We should do that. Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Although you already have to bring home this.
That's okay. I can empty box, no problem. Okay. But I will say that my particular issues ran into, number one, the pet issue. Obviously, I don't want to scare my dog every time we do this.
Yeah.
Two, it can clean up pet hair, and I know there are models that are specifically designed for pet hair, but even with that, you know, flipping it over, you know, to check out the brushes on the bottom and everything was just a pet hair nightmare. I mean, mm-hmm. they do give you a nice little cutting tool that you can just kind of slide along to cut away hair, but that's still an extra step I don't have to do when I use our Dyson.
Right.
You know, because that doesn't seem to have any problem with hair.
And then also it's like kind of defeats the purpose of the robot vac, which is that it's supposed to be like hands off and no work for you. So
right. And just end up being more work cleaning. And then, like you said, there was also the pre-cleaning. We have, obviously, you know, power chargers and cables and whatnot in our apartment because that is just the life of, that is the nature of life in the 21st century.
Yeah.
I had to try to stow as many of those away as I can. And to some degree, that's not really all that easy or possible because
they're plugged in and you're
using them in some cases,
right.
You know. We had to get Fisher's toys off the floor, which if I'm vacuuming, I can just kind of knock those aside with the vacuum or just kind of ignore them.
Or like
them.
Kick them with your foot,
yeah,
like out of the way. Or...
I don't want the robot running into them. We have, and granted, I know the robot should not have been running into table, chairs, and legs, but if you have, we have a dining room table, or I guess just, we don't have a dining room, we just have a table that we use for food,
mm-hmm.
With 4 chairs. There is not a whole lot of space between the chairs themselves, between the chairs and the table. The robot can't get in there, and a lot of hair tends to collect in there. So at that point, then I need to go and get my vacuum anyway to clean that up.
Right.
Or I need to remove all the chairs somehow.
Right.
And it's just all these things just start to pile up. And then, like, the one, and I will note, the one significant advantage was it got really under the couch and it got everything out of there. And I did appreciate that. But, and maybe that's also a factor of the model, too, that since it was not a smart one and couldn't learn the contours of the room and everything, it just kept, and granted, you know, it should not have been running into stuff. I also couldn't get it to leave the living room and go into the bedroom. Which, there's a good off-color joke somewhere in there.
I know, I couldn't seal
the deal with my robot vacuum.
That's where the magic happens? Like, but, I don't know.
and again, I understand that, you know, if you don't have a essentially Wi-Fi-enabled smart model robot vac, it will kind of just... And I also found its cleaning pattern was nowhere near efficient. It would just go over the same spots over and over again. It would turn off to, it would be going in a straight line, and I was thinking, yes, 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 and then all of a sudden it veers off into another direction.
You're like, where are you even going?
This Eufy came with a remote control that mm-hmm. you can use to turn it on everything. You can also use to guide it, and I just found myself sitting there guiding it like a really slow, stupid remote control car.
Okay.
At which point I was like, this is the worst video game in the world. This is the least inefficient thing in the world. Yeah. I could have vacuumed 3 times by now.
Right.
This isn't... I mean, I will say the charge seemed like it was good, though. It seemed like it could run for a while, which
that's
is
good.
Nice.
That's
we ran
nothing.
It for like half an hour to see how it worked, and it showed no problems, but...
It's not nothing.
And I also will note that, like you, New York apartment, not a huge apartment.
Yeah.
Really didn't feel like it was saving us all that much time, because when I vacuum, it takes me all of 20 minutes to get the entire apartment.
Right.
So, I would say if you have, like, a house, which is a... not a thing that exists in New York. We all live in rat hovels and tombs.
Right.
With a lot of rooms, and the robot knows it can go from room to room, and you don't necessarily mind that it might take forever to do one section or another, and you know, you don't have a lot of furniture cluttered into one space. Great. If you have a lot of furniture, if you have a small space, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah. I agree with that. With that said, I mean, look, we should also say, in defense of the robots.
No, don't defend the robots, because they won't have any mercy for us when the time comes.
Oh, I know. This is true. Well, the technology is getting better and better. I mean,
it is. And I will note, too, and I don't know if it's still a sale for it right now. When does this podcast come out? Next week?
Yeah, next Tuesday.
So by the time people are listening to this, may not do this, but I know that there's currently another Eufy on sale on Amazon. Like, usual MSRP is like $600, on sale for like $200.
Oh, wow.
It's one of their pet hair specific ones, which, okay, I've actually been, for as much as my like travails with the first robot vacuum have maybe soured me on it, I've had the tab open for that for like 48 hours and just keep eyeing it and thinking, maybe. But either way, I will note that.
And why don't you call the Eufy people and ask if you can exchange the one that's not working for the pet hair one?
Well, the thing is, I already got the money back from Amazon because they told me Amazon would do the return faster.
And then be like, and I'm also the co-host of this podcast about clean.
Give me things.
Give me things.
But I will note that there also do seem to be, those vacuums do seem to go on sale a decent amount. And especially, I know we're still a billion miles away from it, but when Black Friday comes around.
Yeah.
They're gonna throw a million of those.
They're gonna be like free.
So
all right. This episode has gone long. I'm gonna make a command decision. I was gonna try to do some stuff about hardwood floors, not non-vacuuming of hardwood floors and tile. I'm gonna save that for next week, because next week we're gonna do bathroom stuff.
Ooh.
So yeah, get excited.
It's gonna be real gross.
It's gonna be disgusting. So we'll talk about tile, and I will briefly touch on hardwood in next week. Well, you have a whole week to prepare hardwood jokes.
I literally almost said phrasing before realizing it was just beyond the point.
But before we wrap this up, let me give you guys the wire cutters picks for robot vacuums. They have two picks. Their first pick is actually a $200 pick. Their top pick is a total budget friendly $200 EcoVax is the brand name, and the model is Deebot, DEEBOT N79.
So close.
I wait until you hear the next one. I threw a fit last night. I was like, I was doing my show notes and research at like one of my neighborhood bars, and I just like let out like the loudest, pissiest sigh. I was so mad.
I hope the bartender took that as a sign and just came over with a giant glass of Chardonnay or something.
I already had the giant glass of Chardonnay. The other pick that they have is the Roomba 960. I was like, really?
The D79 and the 960. 960.
I was like, it was right there. Don't you know about this weird little cleaning show that loves the number 69? So yeah, the Roomba 960, I think actually the Roomba 960 is the one that I have. That's like a $900 vacuum. It's crazy. But it's got, of all the robot vacs, it's like the top of the line robot vac. But the EcoVax one is actually their top pick, $200. If you feel like experimenting with a robot vac, I would say try that out. The price point isn't going to break the bank. And I hope you'll be happy with it. I think if the wire cutter likes it, that's about as good an endorsement as you're going to get. So next week, when we talk about bathroom stuff and tile, I am also going to talk about the Brava mopping jet, which is the iRobot little robot mop. That is great. That's $200. That thing is great. I would recommend that for everybody. So I'm going to talk about that like a lot more next week. Just so we can continue the robotic fun. But for now, we got to sign off because we got to go eat some peeps. we got to make a peep about peeps.
I'm going to have to go straight from this to the dentist.
And we have to talk about poor Fisher. Oh, and you know what, actually, John, also, surprise, we have to talk about slathering your entire body in Vaseline.
Yes, the Kevin Kiermaier.
Yes. I told Lindsay I was going to spring that on you. I was like, I'm just trying to play to his interests, you know.
Which is men covered in Vaseline.
Baseball and vacuum cleaners. All right, you guys, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards we're offering to our listeners. We would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.